Welcome back to the Rooks Health Podcast for another episode. Today's episode, we have Halimat, who is an international and London netball player who plays for the London Pulse, which is a professional team based in London. She gives us great insights about how she's battled through some serious injuries, how she's gone through her life, basically, as both a netball player and something else. You'll listen to that when you listen to the episode. Also, she gives us great advice and great talking points. This is all around just a very good conversation I had with her, and I learned a lot because Halima is a professional athlete and her plans, and she gives us training regimens and basically the whole ensemble of how she does everything. So this is a very interesting episode. I really enjoyed it myself, and make sure to catch Halima when the season starts again. On YouTube, you can just check in out there on Sky Sports and everything. So without wasting time anymore, I present to you Halimat. So, Halimat, welcome to the Rooks Health Podcast. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good, thank you. I'm great.
I think it's important to know that you are the first athlete we have on the show, which is a very big milestone for me because I'm trying to get many different backgrounds, different perspectives. So you're the first athlete we have on the show.
I feel honored. I'm not going to lie. that is great.
Nah, it's a big deal. Also, I just want to say, for those who are listening, Halima is an international London netball player. I found it very impressive that you've been able to balance both London Pulse, which is obviously pro netball, and at the same time balance full-time at the university. I still don't know how you've managed to do both, because I think it's a lot easier if someone is just if you're a university athlete, because you don't have to go anywhere, but you've had to travel back and forth here and there. I don't know how you've done it. How do you balance the both lifestyles?
I would say it did take me time. I would say, like, for example, first year was a bit of a struggle because, you know, obviously people say first year doesn't count. So I was there enjoying myself. But I think first year I was able to learn what to do. And now I would say, now that I'm going into my final year, I know how to split my time. So I split my time into four. I split into obviously working out, so netball and training, doing education, so my work, resting, and then having fun with my friends. I would say that's the easiest way I've been able to do it. It's been working for me, so hopefully it continues to work for me.
Hopefully it continues. And you said training. So do you train back in London? Every time you want to train, do you go back to train in London or every
Yeah, so I train in London on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then I have matches on the weekends around the UK.
What's that training process like for, like, someone who's like playing? Obviously you play in quite a high level of netball in England, and so how is that training process like? What are the things you do in your training specific to your sports, or how do you get yourself, basically, your body and your mind prepared?
So I would say, so for example, a normal training session, so I'll give an example of a Tuesday session. A Tuesday session, we'd have like a pressure session, which is fitness based. We'll do 15 minutes of running fitness, and then that also consists of ball fitness. And then after that, we'll do actual netball, just to put our body, you know, through that phase where we're under a lot of pressure, so that when it comes being on court, we're able to kind of withstand that pressure. Some of our trainings also, that's not in our netball session, but outside netball, we do a bit of weights and strength training, and then we also do some conditioning sessions. That also helps with, like, our netball skills. Yeah.
I'm sure you know, like, do you know why you do, like, each of them? Like, you know why especially strength training is important for your example of sports, and why is endurance training? Because you know why it's, like, important for those aspects of your sport particularly? Like, each element of your training?
So I would say, like, strength training. For me, I do a lot of strength training because I am a defender, so I need to be strong to play against my attackers. I do a lot of plyo training so that I'm able to jump I do a lot of agility work so that my foot patterns and my movements fast enough to get around my attackers. I would say my conditioning is just to be able to stay on court for the whole 60 minutes, because if I wasn't fit, heart-wise, I wouldn't be able to stay on court for the whole 60. So that's something I know that I have to work on, but that's something I like to do just so that I know that I can play a whole game without being taken off court because I'm either tired or I'm not feeling strong.
Do you like getting taken off the court? Because I know when I play basketball, you want to play as much as possible. Like, even when you know that you probably should be taken out, you're like, nah, just leave me in there.
Yeah.
let me keep going. You never really want to be taken out at all.
Yeah.
You have that competitive, what's it called, competitive nature.
Yeah, I think I definitely do, yeah, with that competitive nature. I feel like, but now I've learned how to kind of just take it on the chin, because I do play a team sport, and I know that the reason why my coach is doing it is so that we can win and it's the betterment of the team. It happened to me like my previous seasons, but this season I've been good. I haven't been taken off court yet. So I'm all good right now.
You're all good right now. And
yeah,
I think one thing I talked to you about before was to call like injuries. I know injuries is a, to me, is a big, it's the thing that is almost in a sense inevitable if you play a sport, regardless of the sport you play. Even like just general exercise, you're going to get injured. I've been injured. I have multiple ankle injuries, I have knee injuries. And getting back from an injury, I think, is one of the hardest, is a very hard thing, especially when you get long in major injuries. If it's a little knock and something you can wash off in a while, that's a lot easier. But I think with the bigger ones, those ones are the harder ones to come by. I know you've had, I think you said you've had some bigger injuries in the past.
And how,
what was the experience like, and what happened with that?
So I would say from my whole, like, not sporting career, but when I started at a high level, so from the age of 17, that's when the injury started to come in. I've fractured my ankles. I've had like a little bit of fluid in my lower back, which prevented me from going to Netball Youth World Cup as a reserve. It is really upsetting. I would say the Netball Youth World Cup, I cried because we were going to Botswana, and it was just so emotional. Like, the process we went through, like, there were so many things they were thinking about, like whether I should get steroids in my lower back, or whether I should kind of stay in the UK, whether my rehab will be fast enough to get me back to playing so I can actually go. But the process is long, and I think you just have to kind of accept the process. Like, I know with my ankle, I've always had issues with my ankle. So before, I didn't do anything regarding it. I just, like, I'll do a really bad ankle sprain, and then I wouldn't rehab. My rehab will be like a good 2 weeks, when I know I should be rehabbing a good like 4-6 weeks.
Longer
than what I've been doing. And that definitely affected the way I played. But now I've reached this age, I know that I have to take my rehab seriously. I do mobility work. I make sure that I'm doing everything possible to not be in that situation again. Regarding my lower back, I haven't had any issues with it so far since the last time, and that's because I'm making sure I'm stretching, I'm making sure that I'm doing everything I need to do to stop any issues with my lower back. I'm working on my core, I'm working on things that support my lower back, so my glutes, my core, my hammies, my quads. So yeah, you just have to trust the process, and everything happens for a reason. Like, I know that if I did go to Botswana and I did take steroids in my lower back, I wouldn't be here playing right now. Yeah. I know that my netball career would have been cut short to than it's meant to be. Yeah.
And what with the, again, there's something you mentioned stretching, and I'll just talk about that, but I want to focus quickly on the injury, like the back injury. What happened there? Like, how did that happen? Because that seems like, what did you say happened? It seemed like quite a big injury.
So it was my first year of Super League, and I had, I think there must have been a match where I hyperextended when I jumped, and I knew that there was something wrong with it, but I just kind of like brushed it. I just like was like, oh, I don't really need to do anything about it. And then I started to complain about it. I would see the physio, I'd get a bit of a nip on it, and then it just started to get worse and worse and worse. And then we realized it was kind of bad. So yeah, that's what happened. And when I hyperextended, like, you know, your spine, when just the bones just like kind of grind together like that. Yeah.
What did you diagnose you with?
Sorry?
What were you diagnosed with, like, with that? But
so they said that my lumbar spine was more curved than it needed to be. So, and I didn't have enough strength in my core, and that's probably one of the reasons why I hyperextended. So I had to work on my core, and I had to like work on my hip flexors to prevent it from being tight, because everything was tight basically, and I didn't have enough core strength. So everything was just tugging, and I was using, instead of me using my glutes to help me jump higher, I was kind of just hyperextending to get a higher jump.
You're compensating in a sense.
Compensate, yeah.
And try and just get off the ground. And how long did that recovery take?
Oh, that was ages. I would say from May. May was when I figured out I wasn't going. So May, June, like August. August, because August was when we had the competition, and that was the first time I had done netball. So 4 months.
4 months. Yeah. For me, like 4 months in itself is already a long time. Because I've had a knee injury, you know, you're gonna be out for a couple of weeks, and you think that's already long. When he's talking about 4 months, like, how do you get the will or the focus to say, "All right, just gotta bang it out through this whole rehab process and still get back"? Because I know that happened a while ago, and you're still back to playing pro, pro. So how that period? I know you said it was very tough. Both physically and did it affect mentally? Do you think it was also difficult? And how did you get that motivation to say you got to power through this rehab process because you still want to play netball?
Yeah. I think I'm quite self-motivated. So just seeing my friends in Botswana and flourishing kind of motivated me to want to be back playing netball, especially because I had a set goal. So my set goal was a tournament in August, which I think we came second. Yeah, so that was my goal. So I just motivated myself, and I like going to the gym. I love gymming. I like working on myself to become a better athlete. And I think that's the competitive side of me. So I was kind of, and I'm lucky that I have that kind of personality that I want to work to become the best person or best athlete possible. So I think that was kind of what was keeping me going as well. Like my family members and my teammates just telling me, yeah, just keep pushing and you'll get there in the end.
Yeah. And the ankle one, you said you fractured your ankle. How long did that recovery take?
So weirdly enough, I had fractured my ankle when I was 17. And then I sprained that same ankle again. And we had only found out that I had fractured it when I was 17. No. So that took, again, so I'd say from February I was out, because that was when I had the boot. So February was out. Yeah.
I feel like I remember you in the boots. I don't know why.
Yeah. That was quite a long time. Like, I had to spend a lot of time on my ankle. I can't actually remember. I feel like it was three, four months as well. Like, because I always have ankle issues. So my physio made sure that I was solid, like nothing was gonna affect my ankle ever again. So that took time as well. Yeah.
You haven't had any problems with the ankle now since then, have you?
None at all, which is crazy, because I was saying to like my coach during pre-season and like before matches, I'm always doing something to my ankle, whether it's spraining it or just doing a really bad injury on it. And I haven't had any of that. Yeah. And unfortunately, season cut short, so...
Yeah, it is the most painful thing when your season is quite short. I think ankle injuries particularly, I think they are the most common injury sports people face, especially if you do a sport like netball, basketball. I think football is also, I don't know how prevalent it is there, but if you're doing a jumping-based sport or one where you're having to turn rapidly and requires a lot of agility and mobility, ankles are always going to go. I think like the saddest part is that even as an athlete or as a physio, we all know that it's not going to, if you sprain your ankle today, it's not going to heal in a week, depending on how bad you sprain it. Most of the time, if someone sprains it, great too. in 2 weeks they'll try and just hop back into the gym. I'm guilty of that multiple times. You just try and get back in, and you know your ankle is hurt. You know it's not 100%.
Yeah.
You're just like, no, it's good enough. It's good enough. I can get away with it, whatever.
Yeah.
And you just try and power through and see whatever happens. But
yeah, I did that.
So now you're back to playing. Now, what's your game day like preparation, and how do you focus in? Because I can imagine there's a lot of pressure if you're playing in front of. Because I remember I told you when I saw I saw like your games on YouTube, and I was like, I feel like I know someone who plays that team. That name sounds familiar. London Force. I was like, and how do you feel? Because it's broadcast, and there are more pressures on it.
Yeah,
I had way less pressure in my own little basketball, because one of the matches I play is not even, we don't even play with against in front of anyone. The other one is like university, so you're playing a crowd of people. How do you deal with that pressure?
I would say like match day, I go through every type of emotion. Like I try to take it as like a normal netball game. Like when I was playing in the park, I kind of block out the noise. I would say, because I know that I get kind of like, when I'm on court, I'm completely different to how I am on court to how I am off court. So I just try to like block out all the noise possible and just be me. Like I don't want the crowd to affect how I play. Do you understand what I mean? I would say like my pre-match, like what I do is basically, so I get into the changing room, I prepare myself, I do a bit of makeup, tape my ankles. I talk to my friends, we listen to music, and then after I go into like my own zone. So I'd have my headphones in. I listen to different types of music. I can either listen to gospel, I listen to motivational music, I listen to like music that will get me pumped. And then before I get out on court, I do a little prayer. My mom always told me before I go on court, I should say I can do all things through God who strengthens me. I say that before every match. And then when I get on court, I'm a complete different person. Like I'm ready for the game. Yeah.
That's your game day routine. And
that's my game day routine. Yeah.
It's worked so far. So you basically made a little ritual, something you always have to do just before every game. And so far it's worked. Since you've become like, since obviously I think you've kind of, obviously it's always a gradual process of you elevating your career in netball, have you found that you've had to make more changes, more lifestyle changes, particularly like to how you, I don't know, how you rest, your recovery, your feeding, those type of lifestyle changes? Because I think myself, I think as I got more knowledgeable and I started knowing more things regards to like health, nutrition, all that type of thing, I realized that I had to start even adapting the ways you behave. Like obviously you have to, the flat out is you have to exercise more, you have to work out more, you have to go to the gym more, things like that. Have you found that that's been significant, or it's gradually changed as you've progressed to your career?
I think the changes have been gradual. I would say when I first started, I wasn't on my, like I didn't do my S&C properly. I was a 17-year-old. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't doing my S&C properly. I wasn't doing my conditioning properly. I didn't stretch or do extra sessions. But then, you know, when you're in a competitive situation and you're around people who are also like their goal is to be the best athlete possible. Yeah. I think that's what pushed me. And now I know that I'm 22 now and I will make sure I'm doing my S&C. I'll make sure I'm doing my conditioning. I hate running. I hate conditioning, but I will make sure I do it. Like I do extra sessions. I would say like, for example, the food I eat, before I used to eat junk and all of that, I've cut out pork. I don't eat pork anymore. I don't have that much food, like fizzy drinks and stuff. I don't drink it like that. Like chocolates, I don't have it anymore. I don't eat crisps. Like I would have it the one-off, but I don't eat as regularly as I normally would. Even like recently, I was a pescatarian for a bit. It didn't work, especially being in an African household. Like they just shove meat down your throat. and then exactly. and then recently I was like, you know what? I might try be a vegan. And I was like, this seems pretty cool, but I know that I love eggs. I have to eat eggs. So I was like, do you know what? I might just be a vegetarian. And it's a gradual process. Like, I know it's hard, but I really want to do it. And that's my goal. Like, I like setting a goal so that I can reach it. And I think, for example, now I've like made my own meal diary of what I'm going to eat. Because I know it could get, it's a bit difficult knowing what to eat, etc. So that's one thing I've incorporated into my lifestyle. And even like yoga, I've started doing that, and I never expected a whole me doing yoga. Oh. Like, I like doing yoga. It's mad, yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that yoga one in a sec. For those who are listening, like, SNC is a strength and conditioning. So that's because anyone is not familiar with SNC.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically a strength and conditioning. But with regards to like the nutrition aspect, and I told you before that I myself, I'm plant-based. I won't say, I don't necessarily say I'm vegan specifically. I like to say I'm like 90-95% plant-based, meaning that most of the things I eat are plant-based products. So I don't eat religiously. I don't eat chicken, beef, meat, fish. I eat them like very sparingly. And that beginning aspect is a very, when you're starting, it can be difficult. And I think I've also caught, I've fluctuated when you go on and you start and then you fall off. I think I did not like that's where you fall off either. But then once you started and you figure out what exactly you can eat. And I think there's a lot of confusion in regards to how much you actually need meat. I'm not going to go, because I can start ranting over the plant-based lifestyle and why that's quote-unquote superior and everything, but I won't get into that. But I think once you start doing a bit of research and you find out, you can get a lot of protein from just eating plants, you can get a lot of nutrients from just eating more vegetables. And I always try to tell people, even if I've never been on a mission to convert everyone to plant-based, I just try and tell people, eat more fruits and vegetables, because I don't think a lot of people actually eat a lot of fruit and vegetables.
Enough. Yeah.
It's because I remember it's 5 a day, and then I think they increased it to 7 a day. I know very well people don't even eat 2 a day.
I so, can say that 100%.
Yeah. And cutting out all those other stuff like fizzy drinks, crisps, chocolate. I think those are things that people should try, because really truly, those really have no benefits. They're just...
Exactly.
Especially if you're trying to look to make yourself a lot healthier, just flat out, like any, because there's no real, like, all the basically processed, a lot of processed sugars, and it's not beneficial, to be honest. But I can imagine that it's gonna be a hard process. But I think you have that nature where if you just stick to it, you can just carry on, and eventually you'll just get.
I think one thing I've like, I was talking to my mom about it, and I was saying to her, like, Mom, I really need your help regarding this. Like, the last time we did this, you managed to put meat in the meal you made me. And then she was like, do you know what, we'll do this. Like, because I'm Nigerian. So a lot of our meals are plant-based. Like, we have efo, we have eba, we have all of those meals that don't have meat. And we can literally just make those meals without meat, or we can add in meat alternatives. Like, I've been looking at stuff like tofu, and there's something called I think it's TVP or something like that. It's like a vegetable protein, like, but they can't really explain it, but it's basically that. And instead of putting meat, we can do that, and we can still have the whole Nigerian aspect to it, just without the meat. Like, we can just take out and put instead.
I think a lot of dishes can be adapted to plant-based, because you're right, even just general across most cultures, you can just exclude the meat, or you can adapt cooking. Basically, it's not as hard as people think. Little changes you can easily make that make the whole difference. But back to what I was saying, you're doing yoga now. How are you finding yoga? Because I found that yoga is yoga pilates are one of those things where, for me as a guy, is from, I don't know, for largely a lot of my life, I've been, I don't know if it's in their bias to believe it's for women particularly. And I picked it up. I do a few yoga classes and Pilates classes once, and I actually enjoyed it. How have you found yoga, and how does that help with you as an athlete?
I love it. Like, the thing about yoga is, before I was just like, I'm not going to put my body through this. Like, how can I sit in one position for a good, like, 3 minutes?
It's hard. But
it is very hard, but it helps with your breathing. You're able to put your body in positions that you didn't think you'd be able to get to. I really like it. Like, it's a creative way of stretching. It just has a calmness to it. Like, it's like meditation. I don't know how to explain it, but I really enjoy it. I've recently just bought yoga blocks and a yoga strap so that I can, I'm trying to get into the splits by the end of the year.
Okay.
I just really enjoy it. It helps a lot, I think, just with my mind and my body and connecting my mind and body together and being able to kind of know that I can get into certain positions that I didn't think I would. And then you can actually incorporate that into your actual like life in general.
I think yoga, for me, the little I know about yoga, it was when I started it, I found it was actually hard because some of the positions you would have to get into, I think I used to do it wrong because I'll be like, maybe like say downward dog, I'll be feeling it in my arms and I'm like, my arms are dying now. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to feel it in my arms. I'm like, yeah. But as you do it a bit more and you realize it's actually good. Like, it's, I think it's good stretching based. Although like for me, stretching, like I've done, my whole dissertation was based around static stretching and like dynamic warm-ups. And I found that stretching, if you look at like internet, read research and studies, a lot of studies that show like there's a lot of misuse of stretching, in a sense, like actually knowing when to use stretching. Like, that's why I stopped doing static stretches before I play a match or before I go to gym. I use it for certain things. Like if I'm doing yoga now, brilliant spot on. But if I'm going like trying to lift heavy weights or anything, I won't use stretching, static stretching particularly. But I think there's a whole misconception about when it's supposed to be used and when it's not supposed to be used, because there are loads of ways to warm up, I think. But how do you warm up? That's another, that's a good one actually. How do you warm up before
a match?
Yeah, before a match.
So before a match, I would do my prehab, which involves mobility. So getting my joints moving, doing like hops, doing things that I know that I would need. So I would do a bit of mobility in my ankles, calf raises, and then we get into the heart, like the pulse raiser. So running about, but that in the pulse raiser, that includes our dynamic stretching. So we would do like lunges, we do our hammy stretches, and then afterwards we do like a pair work. So we'll do things that we need to focus on, like passing, quick work patterns, and then we'll get into a whole team drill. So at that point our heart rate would have been up there. After that, once we're kind of done, we kind of incorporate it, we would go to the baseline and we do a max sprint. We'll do, I think, 2 or 3 max sprints so that our heart rate's all the way up there, so that when it's time to get on the court to play the match, we're ready. Right. We'll do sprints and then that's our warm-up done. I'd say a warm-up's basically like 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's a reasonable amount of time. I think that sounds like pretty good, a good amount of warm-up, because I think with warming up, one of the things you really want to do is raise your heart rate. So you're not, you know, that the most common word is what? So you don't go in cold, in a sense, because that's one of the good ways that I think dynamic warm-ups are by far one of the better ways to warm up. You can have a debate with everyone. You can talk to different like physios, different coaches, different strength coaches, and they'll tell you, everyone has their own different type of stretch that they'll different type of warm-up, particularly that they prefer. But I think it's just knowing what they actually each of them do. But you
exactly.
Are there any other, what's it called, like little things you picked up, lifestyle changes that you found interesting apart from like yoga? Have you looked into like things like meditation?
But I feel like I can't really meditate. Like, I have tried, but I just can't just sit there for a good 10 minutes and just meditate. I don't know why. I think just so much going, like there's a lot going on in my head. I think I might try that later on in life, but right now I don't think I'm there yet.
It's a hard one, I'll be honest. I find that, what's it called, I can't even do it. I only do it shorts, because even when you just sit down and you're like, clear your head, never clear your head. You have like 100 things running through your head and you're thinking and thinking. That's literally the opposite point of why you should be in a sense of meditating. Because you're supposed to be clearing your head.
And yeah.
So, what was during this coronavirus period, I know you've still been somehow been able to keep active. And how have you found that adapting your workouts? Because I know your season got cut short. How have you been able to adapt your workouts and still keep yourself active? Because I think if I watch NBA and whenever the hosts are talking or they're having interviews, they're always saying things like, well, the players need to, well, it shows how much dedication they have when it's time to go.
Yeah.
To go. Like, there's no excuses for, and you can't use it. But how have you been able to manage and keep yourself still active during this virus time?
So knowing me, I have to be, like, I can't just sit at home. Like, all my friends know I can't just sit down and watch stuff. So one thing is my team, London Pulse, we've been doing Zoom sessions every single day at 10 a.m. Except from Sundays, which is our rest day. That's kind of kept me motivated to go on the Zoom sessions with them. We've switched it up recently. Now we do like netball sessions in the evening on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Another thing is like my family members, just going out on runs with them, going to the park with them. That's kept me motivated. As well, like, just knowing that this period of time is for me to become a stronger athlete. Like, recently I've just been watching a lot of netball matches, and I think just seeing all the girls out there around the world and just seeing how strong they are, I know that I have this time to be able to work on things that I lack in, like, for example, my fitness. So that's one thing that's been keeping me motivated. Yeah, I'm just, like, I think, again, as I was saying before, I'm a self-motivated person, so I can just keep going and find something to do. Like, I can't just sit about and do nothing. Even if I was given a rest week, like, we're meant to be on rest week right now, but I'm still doing stuff. So.
I think yeah. He's exercising this morning, so definitely not on rest week so far. Do you find that, mental health and something like that, that's a very big thing. That's a very thing that people ever tend to like go through it, especially during this time of lockdown. How have you managed to keep yours up and still keep yourself in sense game ready and trained?
Just knowing that other people are going through what I'm going through, like, we're all in the same position. I also have like my teammates and my co-captain looking out for me. They're all messaging each other to make sure that we're all okay. As well, again, my family members and friends just kind of keeping me motivated and just like asking me whether I'm all right. And yeah, that's one thing that's helping me, and just having conversations with my coaches and other people. Yeah,
I think that's very important. Because like having that connection with different people and it's able to talk, because I think if you go through like this entire period alone, it really does, it's not ideal, because especially if you're going through things, but having people around you and be able to talk to different people and just basically check up on each other to ensure that people are still, you're all right. Because I think when you look at health, sometimes people focus too much solely on the physical aspect of health. Like, are you injured? No. Then you're fine. Then you're good to go. You're all right. Largely ignore everything else that comes with it. And like, if you go back to what we were saying before about injuries, like if you get injured, it's not only your physical body that takes the toll of it. A lot of it is actually quite mental. I think that's another reason why I've seen people who they get one injury. It happens in like even every sport pretty much. You get one injury and they come back and they're never the same. And a lot of it is not just they're physically not the same. A lot of it is that mental aspect of like playing through, or like a bit of fear that either re-injury or basically just the period that you've been out of it, in a sense, it's harder to just reintegrate back into. That's actually, how do you manage playing without like fear of re-injury? Because that in itself, I think, is actually a factor that can actually increase your likelihood of getting re-injured. When you're afraid and you're not playing at max, at your best performance, you actually increase your risk of getting injured again. How did you manage that?
So for example, I shouldn't rely on it, but I know that when I injured my ankle, I didn't have ankle tape on. So one thing that kind of keeps me going is that I tape both of my ankles and I kind of say to myself, okay, now that I've taped both of my ankles, this shouldn't happen again. Like, I shouldn't have a major injury. I'd say another thing is I try not to think about it. Because I haven't had, God forbid, like a massive one, like an ACL and stuff, I feel like I'm fine right now to not kind of worry about certain things. But when it comes to like other ones like ACL, I don't really know how they think. But I try not to think about my injuries too much when I'm on court. Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah,
I get what you mean. You try not to put too much emphasis, because I think with you,
yeah,
actually the opposite. When you start thinking too much about it, that's when it becomes sort of a factor in a sense. With regards to like your taping, I have like an episode coming out in a week or so, a few weeks, about specifically taping, about like what it actually does. But don't worry about it. But basically, like, I think taping is, I think it's one of those things. Like, I'm like a young physio. I'm basically just a new physio in a sense, and I've learned a bit about like sports world. I've worked a bit with like different clubs, rugby and some other football and X, Y, and Z. And I've kind of learned things that some things are more psychological. As you already know this. You just said it, that you try not to focus. You shouldn't heavily rely on it. But I think there are multiple ways to look at it. I mean, if it gives you that mental reinforcement to say, okay, is making yourself think you're more secure than you are, and it works for you, and it allows you to focus on actually performing at your best, as opposed to saying worrying about your injury. I think it works. I think it's all right there. The actual physiological, like what it actually does in the body, maybe up and down, maybe a bit different from what if it happens in your mind. But I think if it gives you that mental reinforcement, I think that's a very important part of. Well, like, yeah, just your training regimen. And do you see yourself like still playing netball, or how long do you still see it going? Do you want to keep going at it pro, or do you have other plans?
I want to keep going until my body basically says, yeah, Hali, cut it out. Because I also study biomed in uni. I do have that side of me which wants to go into science and do my academic stuff, etc. But also I like netball. So if I can do netball alongside my job that I want to do in the future, then so be it. Let it happen. I do want to continue playing professional. I hope to one day go abroad and play in an amazing team abroad at the high level they do. If I'm able to continue playing till I'm 50, then I will continue playing till I'm 50. Exactly.
Having that love when you find a sport you love and you're able to make a profession out of it, it's pretty much, I think, can be one of the best things. If you think, I think applies for anything. If you find something that you enjoy so much, and it's able to basically give you joy and still support yourself, there's no doubt why you wouldn't want to do it, carry on as long as possible.
And I even think, like, right now netball's come very far from how it was before when I was younger, and I think now people can actually start to live off netball. And I think once we get that publicity, and once we get both male and female people watching netball, a lot of these females will be able to kind of live off playing netball.
I think that's the big one. Sports in England is very dominant on football, rugby, I don't know, cricket. I don't watch as many sports in England. Most of my sports I watch American sports, American football, NBA, and that. But I think there will be a rise in sports like netball and other sports to start picking up a bit more steam as time goes on. Basically, should create more exciting opportunities for a lot of people. But so do you have any plans later on? Are you still going to exercise again today?
No, I've got a training session tomorrow, though, at 10 a.m. It looks like it's a hard one.
Have you been finding Zoom, or virtual training, quote unquote, How have you been finding, how are you able to adapt to that as opposed to regular?
It's so weird, like just having to, especially if you don't, because I know that I'm a visual learner. So I have to, if you explain it to me, it doesn't work. Like I can't get it. I have to see someone doing it. So I'm there on Zoom while everyone's doing the workout. I'm there like, okay, can someone explain it? Can someone show me? So it has been a bit hard regarding that, but it's nice just being able to connect with everyone and just train with everyone and do things at your own pace and speed, if you get what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. No, I think I really appreciate you coming on the show, Halima. I think I've learned quite a bit. You've given us a good insight as to how the life of a pro netball player, pro athlete, and how to prepare. I think there's a lot of things
I can
take from this, like just how to get that motivation and how to basically train. And when you start learning more about your body, in a sense, the more you do to help your both your health, nutrition, because I think everything just falls in full circle. But do appreciate you coming on the show. Definitely have you again sometime in the future. Hopefully when everything settles down, you let us know how the season goes, mid-season, or how big you get.
You will do.
No problem. Till next time, Halima.
Thank you.
Good to have you on the show
again. No problem. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rogue Cell Podcast, make sure to subscribe so you know when we drop our next episode. And leave a review if you're on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Also, if you have any questions about any of the things we discussed in this episode, or have a future episode recommendation, something you want us to talk about, feel free to send me a message at Rooks Health on all social media platforms. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can just leave a comment and I will look at them. So till next week on the Rooks Health Podcast.